Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. My name is Pastor Jamon Johnson, and as always, I'm super excited to be on with you guys. I hope that you all are having an amazing time. I know that right now that's hard to say as we are going through this pandemic and as we are going through a time that we have never seen before. But I hope that wherever you are right now listening, I'm praying and hoping that you all are blessed and that the Lord and that you all are being blessed right where you are. As always, I just want to start first before we get started by apologizing. I know that I missed the last time, but that's all right. The Lord has a word for us today, and I want to take time out to look into God's word on a subject matter. To hunger and thirst after him. We are in this whole program for me, Life Without Limits. And so showing people how to live life without limits, how to live without boundaries. And with that being said, we're not talking about, not obeying laws and stuff like that. But we're talking about being free from the things that tend to weigh many of us down. And so On today is no different. I would like to continue in that and like to share the word of God with us. But before we get started, I want to start with a word of prayer. I not only want to start with a word of prayer, but I also encourage you as we are going through, if you want to call in, you have any questions, you have any prayer requests, feel free to call in with the number and we will connect with you. Father God, we just thank you so much for all that you have done. We thank you, God, because we know that you are a great Father. And so right now, God, we're asking that as we open up the Word of God, that you will be with us, that you will move, and that you will do what needs to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everyone, if you have your Bibles, please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 6, this message for me is a familiar one. I actually had the chance on presenting this message for the first time this past Saturday for our virtual worship service. It was a great time. The people loved it. Also had a great time sharing the message on my birthday. So I want to share the message with you tonight. And so I encourage you to grab your Bibles or your phones and turn with me again to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, and hold that text as we get started today. For the last couple of weeks, I've had the opportunity of partnering with my senior pastor to preach on the Beatitudes. I learned or previously in the series that we've been doing that the Beatitudes were given by Jesus is in what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. Though the Sermon on the Mount is a rather long sermon or a rather long message, in it, God gives us eight blessings known as, or Jesus gives us eight blessings known as Beatitudes. The word beatitude comes from the Latin word beatus, which means blessed, happy, or fortunate. These words are standards spoken by Jesus or a compass for us on how to truly be Christian. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is preaching not just about the Beatitudes. He's not just preaching to them about being blessed. He's not just preaching to them about if they do certain things, he will shower and pour out blessings upon them. But in fact, what Jesus is doing is giving them an insight on what it means to be a Christian. Jesus here is speaking to the disciples and all of those who are gathered on the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is teaching them firsthand what a real Christian looks like. You see, unlike us, God is not focused on the outer, but he is focusing on the inner workings of a man or a woman's heart. Those who desire to live their lives in such a way that will mirror the image of Christ. You see, in 1 Samuel 17, when the prophet was given the message by God to go and anoint the new king, and when he gets to Jesse, he asks Jesse to bring all of his boys before him. And when Samuel looks at the first son, the Bible says that when he looks at him, he sees how handsome he is. He sees everything about him that he likes. But when God looks at him, God says to Samuel that he's not the one. And his response to the prophet is that you're focusing on the outer appearance, but I'm interested in the person's heart. You see, what God is teaching us and what God is telling us, that it's not about who you are on the outer appearance. It's not about what you look like. It's not about what you do. It's not about how much money you have. It's not about the cars you drive. It's not about the house you live in. It's not about any materialistic things. You can buy Gucci. You can buy Louis Vuitton. But God is saying to us that it's not to him, that stuff is not what's important. What Jesus is focused on and what's important to him is in your heart. What is your heart like? You see, Jesus, God, and God is focused on one thing and one thing only, the matter of a man's heart. And the reason why they're focused on our hearts is because our hearts is where our true motives lie. It's in our hearts that everything comes from. It's within us that Christ sees. He sees past everything deep down into our hearts and our souls, and Christ is able to see who we really are. You see, many of us have become comfortable, and we become used. We become professionals in putting on masks. We've become professionals in hiding our faces. We've been comfortable, to be honest with you, brothers and sisters. We have become comfortable wearing masks. Saying, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about how many of us act one way when we're out in public, but in the house we act a different way. How when we go to church, we act all holy, but when we're at home, we're causing hell. What Christ is focused on is the heart, your heart desires. What is your heart like? When the prophet was there, he told the father, do you have any more sons? He went through seven of the boys, and none of them got desired because they didn't have the right heart. And the father, Jesse, says, yes, I have one more. He's in the field, tending to the sheep. He's doing what he's always done before. And the Bible says that when David comes into wherever space that they're at, the Bible says that when Samuel looks at him, God says to him, he is the one. And the reason why God saw him as the one, listen to this, wasn't because David was strong, wasn't because David had all the abilities to be a great king. Actually, his brothers were built to be kings. They were smart. They were strong. They were handsome. They were everything you wanted in a king. But when God looked at David, what God saw was David's heart. Woo! Hear me when I say this. David had been forgotten in the field. It's in the field where David spends all of his time tending to the sheep. David smells like urine. David smells like feces from the animals. It's in the field where David is always found, and people have forgotten about him. His own father, his brothers have forgotten about him in the field. Listen to this, because I'm going somewhere, but it's in the field where David learned who God was. Woo! I'm getting excited because the Bible says, look, it's in the field where he saw God face to face. It's in the field where he learned to trust in God, where he learned to allow God to develop him. It was in the field where God was prepping David to be the king. And if I could take a break right now from the message to let you know, it's in your field where God is prepping you for what he has for you. It's in the field where God is prepping you and preparing you and taking away things out of you and putting things into your life that will prepare you for the blessings that he's about to open up for you. But God is not focused on what you do on the outer appearance. God wants to know, what is your heart like? Do you have me at the center of your heart? What made David favorable to God wasn't that just because he knew God, but the Bible says he had God at the center of his heart. God was David's rock. God was David's center. David trusted in God in the field. What are you talking about, preacher? For some of us, our field is this pandemic. Your field is that you lost a job and you don't know how you're going to pay a bill. Your field is when your family start acting up, your husband or your wife can't get right. When everything seems to go right, what makes you who you are is how you respond when you're faced with adversity. What's in your heart? Now watch this. I'm about to go somewhere and I'm about to flip this in a minute. You see, the Beatitudes are showing us how to reflect or mirror the image of Christ. See, many of us, as I said, have become so comfortable putting on masks and wearing masks that some of us who call ourselves the Christians don't even realize that we're not even portraying the true image of Jesus Christ. When you walk into a room, you should reflect the image of Jesus. In conversation, you should be reflecting the image of Jesus. There should never be a moment in your Christian walk or your Christian journey where anybody has to question or doubt whether or not you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You see, the Beatitudes are dealing with the matter of the heart. The Beatitudes focus on how we should give, how we should live, and it's all about worship. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, go there with me, Matthew chapter 5, give you a couple of seconds to find it, Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, and it says, when Jesus saw the crowd, he went up on the mountain, on the side of a mountain and sat down. And in verse 2, Jesus' disciples gathered around him, and he taught them. And in verse 3, God blesses people who depend. Let me change my version real quick so that I'm reading from the King James Version. Verse 2, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Keep going. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now watch this, our verse for today. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they, listen to this, shall be filled. Listen to the words there, which are two. One, bless. The second word, hunger. The third, thirst, righteousness. And then the last, the fifth word, is filled. We're going to break those down in just a moment. In Matthew chapter 5, it says, and seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain. As he was set, his disciples came and said unto him, and they opened their mouth. At this point, I've always been so curious as to why Jesus always seems to be retreating. If you ever look at scripture, even when the disciples were on the boat and they were going through the storm, you would notice that Jesus always retreats. And I was so stuck here because I'm noticing the same thing here, that Jesus is retreating for some reason. Now, I discovered here that Jesus isn't retreating from the disciples or from the crowd because he's tired or anything like that. Listen to this. But Jesus has retreated into the mountain with the disciples because it's in the mountain, on that mountainside, where Jesus can speak to them without any distraction. It's on the mountain where Jesus can speak to their hearts. It's on the mountain where Jesus can expose some things within their lives. It's on the mountain where Jesus retreats with the disciples. It's on the mountain where Jesus teaches the disciples one of the most powerful lessons that they will perhaps ever learn. It's on the mountain where they see or get a glimpse of just who Jesus is. Remember one time I was so, before I tell this story, let me break this down. The word blessed, we learned the word beatitude means to be happy or to be, you know, those are the words. So the word blessed in essence in Latin means to be happy. The word hunger and thirst, what Jesus is talking about here is not a physical hunger and a physical thirst. I want you to understand that because I was like, God, like, what are you saying here? When I was studying this and preparing for my message, like, God, what are you talking about? Were the disciples hungry? Were the disciples thirsty? And in my research, what I discovered that what Jesus is talking about to them has nothing to do with a physical hunger and a physical thirst. But what Jesus is doing is using a metaphor to display a message so that they can understand what he's talking about. One time I remember last week I ordered some, I was really hungry, y'all. I mean, I was getting hunger pains. Have you ever been hungry before? I'm talking about hungry to the point where your stomach starts to hurt. Hungry to the point where you start to get lightheaded. Hungry to the point maybe where some of you starting to get grouchy. I was at that point. I had this hunger pain that just couldn't seem to go away. I was getting weak, lightheaded, and I remember going onto my DoorDash app, amen, hallelujah for DoorDash, and I remember saying to myself, I'm craving some Chinese food. Now, if anybody knows me, they know that I love Chinese food because that's what I grew up on in St. Louis, Missouri. For us, Chinese food is like a staple. So I go to DoorDash app and I find the Chinese place that has 5 stars, right? And so I'm going through their menu, and I'm looking at pictures. They have pictures on the DoorDash app, and I'm already excited that they have 5 stars, but I'm liking the pictures that I see because I can't just trust any Chinese food, you know? And I see something that catches my eye, and it's some lo mein. Oh, church, you know, people, can I tell you, I brothers and sisters, at this point, my mouth is watering. I love some good lo mein. And I order the lo mein, and I order a side of General Tso's chicken. And actually, it was General Tso's tofu. And it comes. And when it comes, I mean, it's not the same as it's not doing what I thought it would do. It's not hitting the way that I thought it would hit. I mean, I just wasted money, you know. So I go back to DoorDash app, and I'm like, well, let me try this again because I'm really hungry at this point. And because the Chinese food didn't do what I thought it would do, I'm getting angry at this point. You know, I'm a little frustrated, rather, because I'm hungry. And I go to my DoorDash app, and I see some pizza. And I'm like, okay, God, maybe this pizza would do. And I order a Philly cheesesteak pizza. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Y'all might think I'm crazy, but I love some food now. And the Philly cheesesteak pizza comes. Can I tell y'all when the pizza came? It was cold. Now I'm even more upset. Chinese food. I paid for the pizza. And none of the food seems to satisfy my craving. It's not seeming to satisfy my hunger. Watch this, because I'm going for it. I know y'all wondering why I'm talking about food so much, but I'm about to go somewhere, so follow me for a second. And it doesn't hit me the way that I think it should hit me, right? It's not doing what it should have done or what I thought it was doing. And because I was hungry, I was looking for things to fill me up that couldn't actually do the work. Oh, yeah, I don't get it. Let me say that again. I was chasing something because I was hungry. I was looking and searching for something to fill me up that actually couldn't do the job. Oh, y'all should get happy at this point because what many of us do in our lives is that we chase after things that don't fill us up. We chase after men. We chase after women. We're addicted to all kinds of substances and different things like that. We find ourselves connected to things and people who are not filling us up, but rather leaving us empty inside. Many of us are trying to fill voids in our lives. We're trying to fill that hole that was left from the daddy that walked out of our lives, from that mother that didn't want us. We're trying to fill holes and from abuse issues that happened long ago. We're filling ourselves up things that don't deserve to be in our lives. Many of you are filling yourself up right now with things that do not deserve to be in your life. You go out and you think that man will do it for you. I got news for you. He can't fill you up the way that the Lord can. That drug, that alcohol is only going to make you feel like you're filled temporarily, because it's only a temporary fix. But when you come down out of that high and the alcohol is out of your system, you are still faced with the same things. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for me. He says, happy are those people who are searching and seeking after me and not things of the world. Jesus is saying to them that when you are seeking after me, that's where your happiness is found. Your happiness is not found in things of this world. Your happiness is not found in that woman. Your happiness is not found in that bottle. Your happiness is not found anywhere except in the palm or in the bosom of God. That's where your happiness is found. All of you who are searching and looking for happiness, let me tell you, you don't have to look no further, because he's already right there. Jesus is saying to the disciples that happy are the people who hunger and thirst for me. I remember another time I was in Golden Corral and I ordered a Sprite. And when the Sprite comes, you know, the Sprite is not, it's like carbonated, you know, it's you know, the syrup ran out in the machine. And so I called her waitress back. I tell her, you know, it's going bad, and she takes it back. But she asked me if I want some, you know, she gives me another soda, and I'm drinking the soda. Y'all, I love Sprite, and I'm drinking the soda. And I love Sprite so much because it's like the only soda I drink. And I had already eaten like three plates, and I'm still not full for some reason. And I'm just knocking. I knock back this cup of Sprite. It just don't feel right. Like, it ain't the same thing. And so she says to me, she says, do you want some water? And she brings me a cup of water. And as I'm drinking this water, I began to feel that feeling. You know, you feel after you eat and you drink a lot of water, I began to feel kind of bloated. I began to feel like I'm full, and the water is doing the job that it's doing. Listen to me, because what I was doing was seeking after something to quench my thirst, seeking after things that I love to quench my thirst. But what can do it, I didn't realize, was actually the water. It wasn't the Sprite. What I'm saying is that many of us are thirsting after things to try to quench our thirst, but it can't quench your thirst like Jesus can. It can't quench you. It can't fill you up like Jesus can. Won't you let him into your life? Or, as I told my church on this, what are you drinking on? Are you drinking on the cup filled with what Jesus has for you, or are you still drinking from the cup from what the enemy has for you and what the world has for you? I did this illustration this past weekend where I took two cups, right? One cup, I poured some lemonade in it, and I asked my senior pastor to come on the stage and to taste the lemonade. When he tasted the lemonade, I said, how do you like it? And he said, well, the lemonade is a little watery, but it's still kind of good. I was like, okay. So I take the lemonade. And as I'm adding the Kool-Aid mix, I said, Doc, you want to try it again? And he looked at me and he said, "Preacher, no, I don't want to try it again." And I said, "Why, Doc?" And he said, "Because I can see all the sugar in the bottom of it." Oh, listen to me. He said, "I can see all of the sugar in the bottom of it, and I don't want that bad stuff in my system." Ooh. But in life, that's what we do. We become that vessel that we begin to search after things, and we begin to allow people to pour stuff into us. We begin to pour stuff into our lives, and before long, we are full of mess and gunk and nastiness within us. Oh, hear me when I say this. And so I said, "Okay, Doc, you see all the sugar down there, but I'm going to stir it up for you." And when I stirred it up for him, I took some rotten strawberries. And I said, "Okay, Pastor, these rotten strawberries, I'm going to put in your drink, and these represent been chasing after of to fill the void in your life." He's like, "Oh, no, I don't want that. That's not good for you." I said, But don't it look good?" He was like, "Well, the drink look good, but I don't want nothing with no rotten tomatoes, no rotten strawberries and all that sugar in it." I said, "But Pastor, why don't you want it?" And he said, "Pastor, I don't want to drink it because it's not good for me." And my question that I asked the church, I said, "Then why do we keep drinking from this cup?" And so I take candy. And I started saying, "Okay, this candy represents, one piece represents the sins that you keep holding on to." And I drop it in the cup. Some candy. I add some chocolate syrup. I add some little chocolate crumbs to it. And to be honest with y'all, the hat thing was looking good, though. But it wasn't good for us. You see, what the enemy does is he presents you with stuff that looks good, but it ain't good for your health. Ooh! He presents you with things that seem like it is good for you, that looks like it's good, but it ain't good for your soul. Many of us are walking around just like that vessel that I had, that cup that I had. Many of us are walking around with junk and mess in us. We still walking around dealing with the same stuff that we've been facing for far too long. We still holding on to our sins. We're still dragging it with us. We still can't put down the cigarettes, the alcohol, the drugs. We still can't stop fornicating and cheating on our husbands and our wives. We can't stop lying. We can't stop stealing. We become that vessel that's just filled with mess, junk, and gook, and all of that stuff that's not good for our souls. You see, Jesus is talking about hunger and thirst because food is as important to the human body as your spiritual hunger and thirst is to your spiritual life and your soul. What are you saying? Jesus is saying, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness." What Jesus is saying, the word righteousness means to be in right standing with God. What Jesus is saying is, happy are those who hunger and thirst after me. Blessed are those, happy are those, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after getting living their life right. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for the things of God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after my will and my purpose. Blessed are they. Happy are those people who hunger and thirst for what is right. He's saying that once you start chasing after me, once you start trying to live your life for me, that's where true happiness is found. If there's anybody listening who is struggling with depression, who's struggling with self-worth, let me tell you, you will never be happy until you learn who Jesus is. Because when you learn who Jesus is, you learn that he is a God who died for you, who paid the ultimate sacrifice for you, that he created you in his image and his likeness. When you learn who God is, you understand that you're worth more than what any label anybody could ever put on you. When you learn who God is, when you start living for Jesus, that is when you start being happy. Stop me that's foolish, that Christians can't be happy, that Christians Christians can't have a good time. When you are really in the will of God, he will bring the happiness to you. You don't have to go searching for the happiness. God will bring the happiness to you. He said that blessed are those who hunger and thirst. So as long as you are hungering and thirsting after him, you don't have to worry about being happy, because that's what he's going to gift you for searching after him. Oh, y'all don't get it. You ain't got to go looking for something. He's saying that as long as you hunger and thirst for me, as long as you hunger and thirst for living your life for me, I'm going to bless you and make you happy. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they may be filled. What are you drinking on? What's in your cup? So that woman, that man, that boy, that girl, what's in your cup? What are you drinking on? Which cup are you drinking from? And so back to the story. And so I he didn't want to drink none of that, right? And so I take another glass and I fill it with purified water. You see, and I add some ice cubes to it. So now it's chilling, you know, it's cool now. I add some ice cubes to this water, Brother Robert, and I say, Doc, you want this water? Get me? He says, Pastor, I drink the water, but don't give me that mess right there. And I said, okay, but you drank the lemonade. He said, yeah, but the lemonade wasn't good for me. And when he drinks the water, he drinks the whole glass of water. And he says to me, I said, Pastor, why you drink the whole glass of water, but you didn't want to drink this? He says, well, this is good for me. You see, what we do is Christ wants to fill us up. He wants to put those good things in us. He wants to fill us up with things that are of him. But we're constantly chasing after those things that are not good for us. This is what happened with the woman at the well. You remember the story of the woman at the well? When Jesus comes to the well, she's hanging out by the well, and Jesus says, give me some water. Jesus commands her. He didn't ask her politely. He says, give me something to drink. Let's look at that text real quick. Let's look at that, because I think that that text is very important. Let's look at that. Jesus, you know, with the woman at the well. And you can find that if you don't know where that is. That's John 4. And it says, and forgive me if I'm moving fast, but I want to kind of get all this in the time that I have. John chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, when the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said unto her, will you give me something to drink? His disciples had gone into town to buy food. Now watch this. Verse 9, the Samaritan woman said unto him, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Listen to this. She says in verse 11, sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Stop right there. She doesn't even realize who she's talking to. Jesus asking to drink. And she says, you don't even have nothing to draw from. You shouldn't even be talking to me, because I'm a Samaritan woman. I'm low of the low. I'm a scum of the scum. But Jesus says to her, like she doesn't even recognize who she's talking to. She doesn't recognize that the living water is standing in front of her. Oh, I don't get it today. She's so focused on the well being the source of her being full that she doesn't realize that the person that can fill her up is standing right there. And the text says, but in verse 13, he says, let's go back to 12. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, also his sons and his livestock? Jesus said in verse 13, answered, everyone who drinks this water, listen, will thirst again, meaning anyone who drinks from this well will be thirsty again. If we can apply this to our text, back in Matthew, anyone who keeps drinking from what the world has to give you, anyone who keeps drinking from that well that the enemy has trying to give you, anyone who keeps drinking from this well that you think is the source of your voidness and healing, but as long as you keep drinking from this, he says you will thirst again. And in verse 14, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give you will become in them a spring of water welling up from the to eternal life. And the woman said unto him, listen to this, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. And he told her, go call your husband and come back. Now watch what she says. I have no husband, she replied. In verse 17, Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. In verse 18, the fact is you have five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman says, I can see that you are a prophet. Now let's stop, because verse 18, or she says to him in verse 17, give me this water. Because she's starting to recognize that she doesn't want to keep living the same way. She doesn't want the same things anymore. That taste is starting to leave. When you're chasing at or hungry or thirsty for righteousness, the things of the world become sour to you. It becomes this thing that you can't tolerate when you're chasing after God, when you're chasing after righteousness, when you're trying to live your life right, when you're trying to live your life in according to God's plan. And he says to her, of course not, because you have five husbands and the man you have now ain't even yours. And she said that was true. And what Jesus was really telling her was, Jesus was not only telling her that he is the life, that he is the water that will fill her up, the living water, but Jesus was pointing out that the only way to receive this living water is you got to go and get your stuff together. You got to make your life right. You got five dudes at home. And the one you with now ain't even yours. What Jesus is saying to us back in Matthew 5 and verse 6, in the Beatitudes, blessed or happy are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He's saying to you and I that he is that source to fill you up. This is the same concept that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8, he says, those who walk not after the flesh, you know the text. This is the same concept. He's talking about righteousness. He's talking about living your life in accordance to God's plan and God's will. He's talking about that no longer will your life matter in the terms of what you want it to be, but it's about what God wants you to be. When you go back and you look at David, David was in the field hunger and thirsting after God. And it's in the field where God found him and showed him who he was and made him king. What I'm saying to you is, my question is to you, what's in your cup and what you drinking on? Some of you got some stuff in your hand right now. You need to put it down. The whole purpose of this that Jesus was teaching us was that beyond anything the world can ever tell you, beyond anything you can ever believe, just know that he's the answer to your happiness. That if you allow Christ to fill your heart, when you start chasing after him, when you start hungering and thirsting. You got to get to that point when you're having those hunger pains that, God, I can't take being away from you no longer. You gotta fall on your knees. You gotta pray to him. You're hunger and you're thirsting. Well, hunger and thirsting also means is that you gotta get your prayer life together. You gotta know the word. You gotta start reading the word. You gotta start talking to God. When you're hunger and thirst after him, you want nothing but what God has to offer you. You don't want what the world has to offer you. As I said earlier, what the world has to offer you becomes sour. It becomes nasty. But what God has for you is what's best for you. It will fill you up. It will make you happy. He will bless you in the long run. And he's promised us that those who seek after him, he has eternal life promised for them. I don't know about you, but I'd rather live in God's, I'd rather be on God's side. I'd rather chase after God. I'd rather want the righteousness of God. I'd rather fight all of my life trying to get myself right, even though I'm going to mess up sometimes, even though I'm going to make mistakes. I'd rather trust God, believing that he will bless me, knowing that I have eternal life. That this same God who sent his only son to die for a people who didn't deserve it is the same God who's trying to bless me. It's the same God who's making promise after promise that he has never failed. He's the same God who got you out of the stuff in the past. The same God who spared your life when your life should have been taken. Are you thirsty? And if you are, if you're thirsty tonight, my question is, what are you drinking on? Which cup are you drinking from? Because as long as we keep drinking from the cup that the world and the enemy has for us, listen when I say this, as long as we keep drinking from that cup with the lemonade and the Kool-Aid and the rotten strawberries and the candy and the chocolate, as long as we keep drinking from that cup, we would never change. As long as we keep drinking from that cup, we can experience what Christ has for us. Many of us would never experience what God has for us. We would never know what it means to live life beyond limits, without limits, if we keep drinking from that cup. But God says, here's the promise, that I have the living water, that I am the living water. And if you're thirsty tonight, Jesus is saying to you and me, you and I, sorry, that's proper English, that he's saying to you and I, that I am the living water, drink from my cup. Jesus is saying to you, what are you drinking on tonight? Because he has the living water. He is the source of happiness. He is everything that you need and more. Will you drink from his cup? Some of y'all are listening with some people right now. You need to look at your husband, your wife, or whoever you're listening with and say, what you drinking on? Because if you ain't drinking from the cup that the Lord has, are missing out. And here's the beauty, because I believe preaching should not only show us what we're doing wrong, but preaching should give us hope, and preaching should show us who we're meant to be. When you start drinking from the cup, as I prepare to close, when you start drinking from the cup that the Lord has for you, your life will be different. Things will change for you. And tonight, there's somebody that's watching. I do the call of salvation, calling someone to Jesus Christ. I only have one simple question to ask you. Are you tired of drinking from that cup? We're going to go to the call of salvation. And I believe you still, Brother Robert, if you're on, do they still have a little time to call in? Or do we have any callers on right now?
We have some callers on right now, so we can go ahead and do the call of salvation. I'll bring the callers on right after I do the announcements.
Okay, I'm going to do something different tonight, Brother Robert. If you will, please bless us with the call of salvation.
Yeah, it's not a problem. And, you know, I just want to let everybody know, this is real simple. You know, in your heart of hearts, you know, that no matter how much strife and struggle we go through, we always going to call on the Lord. We always going to call on Jesus' name. We all trust in him, no matter what level or what kind of faith we have, no matter if it's the faith of a mustard seed or faith as big as the Grand Canyon. But the one thing that we all know is that we do trust and believe in him. And how we do that is we make sure we have that great connection that we always need to make with him in our heart of hearts. And we just have to let him know that we appreciate the great sacrifice he did for us. And he sacrificed his son at Calvary. His son died for our sins. For him alone, he died for us. For through him, that we can be closer to his father, that we can have that great connection. And, you know, if you don't have that connection right now, I just, you know, suggest that you can do, you know, what I did. Oh, it was such a long time ago. And with Father God, I did everything that I thought that I could do. I thought that I could always make that connection without your son. But once I realized that your son, who died for my sins, he alone let me understand, let me realize that through no matter how much sins or no matter how many times I've tried, that I had to always call on his name to bring me through. And, you know, and through that, once we understand and we have that revelation, and then we know that, Father God, I just dedicate my life. I dedicate my life to you, because without that, I will never be reborn again. I will never see the ever glory, the ever glorious light that shines in me right now today. And if you've done this prayer, I just suggest you just tell a friend, tell someone, tell a family member, or call your mom, or just yell out, you know, at the top of your balcony. If you don't have a balcony, just open your door and it says, I just turn over a new leaf in life. I have accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And once you've done that, I've, you know, suggested you find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary that will nurture you in the word of Christ. And if you can't find that sanctuary, that's why we're here at Purpose Kingdom Network. We broadcast almost every night for a night of ministry until you can find that church home. And when you find that church home, you can just let us know. And one of the ways you can let us know is you can just go ahead and email us at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can just express the way, you know, you feel, or just tell us how we're doing here at Purpose Kingdom Network. And most importantly, you know, just tell us, you know, how you turn your life over to Christ. And we greatly appreciate that. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. We can do likewise. We invite you to like us on Facebook, where you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements at Purpose Kingdom on Facebook. And don't forget to share and tell a friend. We're also on anywhere where you can hear any kind of podcast. And you can just like us there. Just type in Purpose Kingdom and, you know, just like us, and that way you can, you know, share with a friend, or you can listen to our shows in its entirety. And also you can go to where we broadcast at www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. We can simply type in a host name or show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety, and that's your convenience, and we greatly appreciate that. Well, God's will, God's blessing. We hope that you don't mind our little change-up, but One Touch Transformation will be on at 9 p.m., hosted by Minister Arthenius Jackson. And once again, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for One Touch Transformations, hosted by Minister Arthenius Jackson. And with that being said, we just appreciate your listenership and your support with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank you, whether you're listening online or via phone. We just greatly appreciate your support no matter where you're listening to us in the world. And we just thank you so much, especially at this time in need of prayer. And Pastor Jermon?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to turn the show back over in your hands. And before I do that, don't forget we have a caller. I just want to let you know that, you know, mostly on Purpose Kingdom Network, sometimes we get a praise bomb, but it seems like I got hit with a praise brick in my head. So, you know, thank you so much for that.
No problem. If we could, yeah, let's take the caller if we can.
Amen. What up? What up? What up? Oh wow, Pastor Jermon, I just wanted to come on and say thank you. Thank you for everything that you just said. Thank you for just permeating through the line. Like, I felt all of that power. I needed that power. I needed that because I know exactly what you're talking about. I remember the day I met. I remember the day Jesus met me at the well. I've been changed ever since, and I hate the fact that it's like this because it's a lonely place sometimes, and it's a bad, sad place, but you ain't never lied about the fact that it is the best thing that has ever happened, and it's just Tonight was like a nice, big, cool glass of water with some ice chips that I could just suck on for the rest of the evening.
Amen.
Carry on.
Amen. I thank you so much, just like the many other listeners, for just tuning in. Thank you. Yes, God, when he meets us at that well, no matter what that well is for us, that water that he's inviting us to drink from, trust me, it's the best cup you can ever drink from. And so I encourage you. And what's your name? Is she, Brother Robert, is she still on?
I'm sorry. I'm Adrian. Okay. Misunderstandings, Alan. I'm D Block.
No,
what up? I'm your Thursday night.
I wanted to be able to call your name, but I was going to say, Miss Adrian. You know, just continue. I feel the spirit. You know, I continue. If I could, you know, my job is to give hope and encouragement. So just continue to drink from that cup. Continue to do.
I'm gonna tell you that you better call in. Oh, you better call in on Thursday and find out what you told me to put in my cup because I got something for you to drink Thursday night. This week,
mercy.
Everybody,
mercy.
We'll be on.
Mercy.
What up, D Block Church? Tell a friend and tell some friends. But no, bro, you know I love it anyway. But that when the word goes forth, it's like you need to. Just in case, if it was for me, then I receive it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in, and I definitely will check out your broadcast Thursday night. Brother Robert, do we have any others on right now? Any other callers?
Right now at the moment, we don't have any more callers, but I will let you know we do have.
Okay. Well, I would just like to do this. Definitely like again to thank you guys for the opportunity. This is I believe in there's one of the Beatitudes that says, "Blessed are those who are meek, for they shall inherit it." You know, the kingdom. So I am truly humbled by this opportunity. I'm grateful to be able to connect with you all. And I thank God for everything that he has done for me, for all the avenues that he allows my voice to be heard. But if you would like to keep in contact with me, if it's fine with Brother Robert, there are some ways that you can do that through Instagram at Simply. That's S-I-M-P-L-Y, Simply Jamon, J-A-M-O-N. And that's Instagram. Again, that's Simply Jamon. I post a lot there, more so than anything. A lot of content there. There's also, you can Facebook. I can be found at Jamon. That's J-A. It's an apostrophe and a capital M, and then O-N, Johnson. Jamon Johnson. There on Facebook. I would love to hear from you guys. If you find me, DM me, send me something. Would love to hear from you guys. And there's other avenues on there that you can see, from YouTube channels to Facebook, where, you know, I am sharing the word of God and helping people live their life the way that God has inspired them. Brother Robert, if there's not anyone else, I definitely just want to pray to close us out. I'm going to pray right now. God, I thank you so much. I thank you for everything that you have done, if not any moment in my life. I recognize right now how deep and serious your love is for us. I thank you for consistently pouring out your love, your blessings upon us as a people. God, I thank you for allowing me to have this opportunity, and I pray that, God, everything that was said came from you, and I pray that it will penetrate these airways, whether they're listening on the computer, the phone, or whatever, God,
and that it had touched somebody's heart, come into somebody's life, God, change somebody right now. God, right now, as we are dealing with this pandemic, I'm asking you, God, to be the provider. There's families who are starving. Put food on their table, God. There's some people who don't know how they're going to pay some bills. God, defer some bills. Put some money in some bank account. I know that you can do it, God, and I'm asking you to do it. But I'm praying for the most important thing, God, that you will draw somebody closer to you. That somebody tonight, somebody who listens to this later on during the week, will come to know who you are and will desire to hunger and thirst after you. And so, God, I thank you. I'm praying for my life that you will continue to be with me, continue to use me, continue to protect me and my daughter in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all again, Brother Robert. Thank you again for the opportunity. Again, you guys can find me on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram is simply Jermon, and then Facebook is Jermon Johnson. I look forward to hearing from you and look forward to 2 weeks from now when I'm able to share with you guys again.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.